Fascinating book, Me and Lee by Judith Vary Baker. I want to start at the beginning. You sort of figured that she or someone like her existed even before you knew her, right?
Yeah, I put that in my 1995 book when it first came out. I was investigating an underground medical laboratory in New Orleans that Jim Garrison had referred to in a Playboy interview in 1967. And I'm from New Orleans, and I heard rumors about it and stuff, and I was investigating that, and this had something to do with David Ferry and cancer-causing viruses, and in that process, there had to be someone. I called her a technician that knew how to do the bench laboratory procedures with cancer-causing viruses safely, because you could not do this project without this technician. And so I speculated that there had to be a technician there, and there had to be certain resources lined up and certain kind of cover and security and everything else. And so I put together a model of what this underground medical laboratory looked like, and what I was missing was the technician right in the middle of it, the hole in the donut, if you will.
And so in 1990, you actually got to meet her through 60 Minutes, right?
Well, it was in 2000.
Oh, 2000, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 2000. I got a phone call from 60 Minutes and said they were investigating this woman who said she had been in the laboratory I had written about in my book, the book which is now referred to as Dr. Mary's Monkey. It had an earlier title at the time, and it had nothing about Judith in it. But they said they had this woman who said that she was in this laboratory, and I was, you know, I was cautious but interested, and then they told me she worked at the Riley Coffee Company, and my lights went on, you know, because I knew all about Riley and his relationship to Ochsner, and Ochsner was a big famous doctor who was all into this Kill Castro political kind of stuff in New Orleans, and the hook was in at that point. I wanted to find out who this woman was.
Well, I want to get into Riley Coffee and all the names that you just mentioned, but let's stick with 60 Minutes for a moment. In the foreword to the book, you say that the 60 Minutes team had worked on this story for like 14 months and then never aired anything.
That's right. I was sent an email from one of the producers at 60 Minutes, which I probably wasn't supposed to see, but it said that it was the most, it was very apologetic that they were not airing it, and they said it was the most expensive project they had ever done, and they had been investigating her for 14 months, and they were deeply chagrined that the project would not air. So whatever happened, and I don't know the full circumstances of it because I was not on that end of the project at the time, it was a disappointment for all of us. But the good news is we now have a 600-page book that really tells the story in more detail, and it's a very complex story, more detail than even 60 Minutes could have done.
Well, that's what I was worried about, is if whether that is a red flag. If 60 Minutes works on it for 14 months, puts a lot of resources and money into it, and then doesn't do the stories, does that say that they didn't believe it to be true?
Well, no, that doesn't say that at all. They wouldn't have spent that kind of money on it if they didn't think it was true. You know, that's somebody showed up at the altar with a note from somebody at the last minute or something like that. And again, I'm not exactly sure of what happened, but, you know, later Don Hewitt, who was the founder of 60 Minutes, said, you know, this was the biggest story of our times, and we were very disappointed that we did not air it or could not air it, however his actual term was. The point is, I mean, there's no issue to me about whether or not this story is true. This story is documented from end to end, thoroughly, carefully, and when we get into what the story is, the logic of the story speaks for itself in terms of who this woman, Judy, was, and that's what drives this whole thing, because you know, people say, oh, maybe she knew Oswald, maybe she didn't. You know, the point is, if this woman had not met Lee Oswald, today she'd probably be running the National Cancer Institute.
You, I don't want to beat a dead horse on the 60 Minutes thing, but they had been talking to you. You were in that loop because as they're investigating this thing for 14 months, they cross paths with your book, your work, and your research on this, right?
Yes, they did. I mean, Judith said that she was the technician in the laboratory that I had written about, and I was way out ahead of the curve in terms of talking about this underground medical laboratory and the biological weapon, and I had placed it pretty closely to people associated with Lee Oswald. David Ferry was involved in it. I brought up the names of Mary Sherman, whose murder I was investigating. That's where my focus was. This woman had the most bizarre murder imaginable, and she got basically fried by a 5 million volt piece of industrial equipment, and they dragged her back to her apartment and they faked the murder scene. And I wanted to know what was that piece of equipment and why did they drag her back and why was it all shut down and why did they not tell the public? And
I'll tell you what, let's back up a little bit, because okay, a lot of people haven't read your book. Let's tell the story from the beginning, what this cancer lab that you're talking about has to do with JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay. Well, in 1964, there was a very bizarre murder in New Orleans. Dr. Mary Sherman was murdered, and Dr. Mary Sherman happened to be a good friend of my father's, and they were both professors at Tulane Medical School. I had even sat on Mary Sherman's lap as a child. And in 1967, when Jim Garrison started investigating the Kennedy assassination, he, of course, investigated Lee Harvey Oswald, and that led him to David Ferry. And his sources told him that Ferry was running an underground medical laboratory involving cancer, and that he was involved with several New Orleans doctors, one of which was Dr. Mary Sherman. And I lived in New Orleans at the time. This was in the 1960s. Garrison's investigation was going on. I had friends involved. And I was told by some of these people very close to the investigation that they believed they were working on a biological weapon to kill Fidel Castro. And the idea of a biological weapon being produced by a bunch of political loose cannons was a very dangerous idea. And something I was concerned about, frankly, I was more concerned about it than who killed the president. I wanted to get to what was going on with this biological weapon. And so I wrote a book about it just to say, hey, guys, look over here. There's an underground medical laboratory. It's really close to Oswald. It involves David Ferry. Dr. Alton Ochsner is looks like he's connected with this. Dr. Mary Sherman, and that's what Jim Garrison said in that interview in Playboy magazine in October, he said that Mary Sherman was working with David Ferry. And this this was like obscure news to the outside, but it was for people who knew who Mary Sherman was and that she was one of the leading experts in the nation on both radiation in medicine and cancer, to have a professionally competent top-drawer scientist working with a right-wing radical loose cannon like David Ferry, the combination of those resources just scared me considerably, and that's what I was going after. And so my first book, which was called Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus, and addressed that whole issue, and that was the donut, and the hole in the donut was they had to have this technician who was trained to handle the cancer-causing viruses in order to do the work to create the biological weapon.